All right. I cannot say good morning to San Ramon because it's not morning. In San Ramon, I like to say that, good morning, everyone, because it's morning and fresh. But I'm fresh. I am fresh, and I hope you are too, because and hopefully this is also a relaxing time for all of us, because usually after service and we end about 5, we're still thinking, oh, I still have to go to dinner and what to eat after that. Today you don't have to worry about all that, right? Today you can concentrate on the Word of God and just relax, because after this, you know, we're going to go eat outside there and enjoy the evening together. So relax about that, and that way your mind is calm. You can just enjoy the goodness of God and our friendship and fellowship. Today I'm going to bring up a topic. It's called addressing FOMO. How many know what FOMO is? How many don't know what FOMO is? Probably I should say that, FOMO. You don't know FOMO? Okay, FOMO is a popular term nowadays, okay? If you read the newspaper and popular magazine, you will know that FOMO is an acronym. It's called what? Fear of missing out. Okay, fear of missing out. That is a popular, I should not say it is a social disease, but it is. They define it as a social disease. And let me read to you. If you Google it, you will find Wikipedia will define it like this. Fear of missing out, it's defined as an anxiety that an exciting or interesting event may currently be happening elsewhere, often aroused by posts seen on social media website. Okay? So when you look at Instagram of your friends or Facebook page, and they are so happy eating certain thing, looking at certain sceneries, and be with certain kind of people, then you fear, oh, I should have been there, or I need to be there. I'm missing out on life. I'm missing out on the world. So that's FOMO, fear on missing out. So you are blessed if you are not in any kind of social media. And I know one person that in this room that is not in FOMO. I mean, it's not in social media. And that person is probably going to smile to me, but I'm not going to look at that person. Anyway, you know who you are. But today, we will learn something that will definitely none of us want to be missing out. None of us want to be missing out. Okay, so that we don't have this FOMO fear. And for that, we will turn into one of the most popular passages in the Bible. And it contained the saying of Jesus from Mark chapter 12. Anybody without looking at the verse know what it is all about? Mark chapter 12. What is called the greatest commandment? Now you know, right? Mark chapter 12 has the greatest commandment of a Christian faith. So you better remember that. Okay? So we're going to look. Oh, it's too small, is it not? You can read it. Okay, I'll just read it for you if you cannot see. All right. Mark chapter 12, verse 28, contain the great commandment. It's the title, the subtitle of it is called the Great Commandment. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there to the debate. So obviously a conversation was going on, and many people, including these teachers and Jesus and the disciple. He realized, one of the teacher, that Jesus had answered well. So he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than this. So the conversation continued. The teachers of religious law replied, well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth by saying that there is only one God and no other. And I know it is important to love him with all my heart and all my understanding and all my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. This is more important than to offer all the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law. Realizing how much the man understood, Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any more question. So what we have here is a conversation between an expert, a teacher of law, with Jesus. And it seems like the teacher of law was impressed with all the answer that Jesus had to give to the people that questioned him at that time. So he himself get involved in the conversation. He himself get to ask a question, what is the greatest law? And so Jesus answered the way we read. And what's later on, the teacher, the father of the church labeled this the great commandment. Now, contrary to what you and I might think, actually the answer that Jesus gave was not extraordinary. It's not original. It's not too revealing. It's not a big revelation. You know why? Because this saying, "Hear, O Israel," actually is a daily prayer of the Jews. You can find that same prayer in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's called the Shema. The Shema, Shema just means hear. The Jewish people has a custom of labeling something, and the way they label it is by the first word of whatever they're labeling. So in this case, the saying is called the Shema because the first word is here. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. There is none other." And then you go and find it in Deuteronomy chapter 6. So what Jesus said to the expert actually is not original. It's not like, whoa, this is a great revelation. It's not that. It is actually unimpressive to the teacher of the law. They quote this Shema, morning prayer, night prayer. And you can see the answer of the teacher. The teacher said what? "Well said." He said, "Well said. And I know that I have to love my neighbor." "Well said, that there is only one God." You know, actually, the teacher was only testing Jesus to see if Jesus was bringing a new religion that is polytheistic, because there were many. The Judaism is monotheistic. So the teacher just want to make sure Jesus is still in line with this monotheistic religion or not, because there were many polytheistic religion during the time. So that's why he said, "Well said, good. There's only one. You confirm that saying that we all along have been believing in, that there is only one Lord. If you want to become a Jew, you say that word. There is one Lord, one God, Jehovah." The Muslim have that same too, that same saying. If you want to become a Muslim, you have to say the Shahada. That saying that says that you believe that there is only one God, but then they have something else. You believe that Muhammad is the apostle or the Rasul, or I think that's apostle in English. So you have to say that. It's the same custom. It's all Middle Eastern religion. So just to put it in your understanding, Jesus said nothing new. And then this led to an abrupt, sudden end of the conversation. That is where I want to direct your attention. Sudden end of the conversation, which is very sad. Jesus said, "You are so close to the kingdom of God," and then no one dared to ask him any more questions. Close. The American says close, but no cigar. Close. meaning like cigar is to celebrate. I know that some of you don't know the custom. You know, cigar is celebration, but close, but not celebration yet. You're so close, but you're not there. And then instead of further relationship, what we had is fear develop. They fear. They afraid to ask him any more question. No one dare to ask any more question. End of conversation. No relationship is built. No further learning took place. Ignorance continue. Fear develop. Opportunity for relationship miss. I want you to see this. Why? Why no relationship built? Why ignorance continue? Why fear now develop? It is because, I call it the I know attitude. I know, he said. I know. That's the answer that the expert, the religious law teacher, is answering the way he answered. I know. Whatever you said, I know. Is this, I'm asking all of us, not the prevailing attitude nowadays? I know. I've seen it. I've been there, done that. You know, I can find people can claim expertise, including myself, in anything. You know why? Because we have Google. I know. You know, when I talk to my boss, you know, he wants me to do something that I never done before, I can confidently say, I know, even in the back of my mindset, I'm Google it later. You know, I'll Google it later. In fact, I tell you the secret, but don't tell anybody else. I make my money by Google. Anything that my boss ever asked me to do, I never say no. You know, my answer is, it's possible. Everything is possible. It all depends on how much you want to pay and how long you allow me to do it, because I can Google it. In Google, you can find who is the expert, right? And then you can hire those people. If you are willing to pay, I can do it. I know. That is the prevailing attitude nowadays. But first of all, before we judge other people, oh yeah, that's not me, you know, I never do have that kind of judgment before. Before we judge other people, when I told you that the pericope that we're going to, pericope is that section of story, that we're going to talk about is the great commandment. What's kind of go in the back of your mind? I've heard that before, Pastor. The Great Commission, yeah, maybe 3 times. Some of us who are already Christian, 10 times. Love God, love neighbors. What's new? Some of us may think that. You know, we yawn inside. Oh, you know, what can we benefit from a well-beaten sermon like the Great Commandment? Well, as a matter of fact, we're not talking about the content of the Great Commandment, but we're analyzing a little bit about the circumstances of the people. I've heard it all, he said. I know it. I'm good. Been there, done that. Now, when we come to Jesus with that kind of attitude, that is the end of conversation. The end of conversation. No relationship is built. No further learning took place. Instead, ignorance continue. Fear developed. Relationship missed. And I'm as guilty as any of us. You know, I'm always annoyed when someone is telling me the same thing over and over again. You know, my principle is this. You tell me once, that means you care for my well-being. You tell me twice, you start to be annoying. You tell me 3 times, now you're insulting my intelligence and pride. You know, my self-worth. I mean, you know, we all have that. And this is something that I'm still working on. You know, don't follow me here. A case in point is my love for sugar, right? I love sugar. I put sugar in my coffee. I put sugar in my salsa. You know, I put sugar. Salsa, it's good. You put, yeah, she agree, right? I put sugar in my food. You know, I put the sugar in everything. And every time my wife found out about it, she always says something, you know, hey, You know, pay attention. Don't do that. Just enjoy what it is for what it is. You know, don't eat sugar. But, you know, as I said, the first time she told me, I appreciate it because she cared. The second one, she become annoying. The third time, I'm annoyed. I'm really, you know, get back to her. You know, just, I know. Sad story. It ended sadly. A few years ago, I had my annual checkup. I'm pre-diabetic. Yep. I'm 102, I think. I think the limit is 99 or something like that for diabetic. I mean, sad story. Now I pay attention. A little too late, but I think I still can make it back. But that I know attitude can kill, you know? At least for the people here in our story, this I know attitude, just end the conversation. Just end the conversation. So what do we miss? What do we miss? Well, what the religious expert missed. Not us, the religious expert. It's a sad thing what this person missed, okay? This person missed the most wonderful relationship opportunity with God Emmanuel in physical form. I consider the greatest generation that ever walked on earth is that generation when God decided that is Kairos time to walk on earth and meet humanity. Do you know that every year, millions of peoples goes to Jerusalem to just kind of imagine and touch and walk in the place where Jesus walked? Millions of people. Until today, I'm even thinking about doing that the same. They call it pilgrimage. Although in Christianity, we don't recognize pilgrimage like the Muslim or the Jews do. But, you know, I just want to kind of, Jesus, where do you walk? And just try to imagine. But this generation where when the teachers of the law live, he come face to face with the man God Jesus. And he missed relating further. What else he's missing? This. He missed witnessing the greatest act of God in human history. The act of the death and resurrection of Christ. You know, I mean, from all human historical events, what is the greatest other than that one? The death that pays for the sin of the world. And then the exuberant resurrection that come 3 days later. This expert will miss it, will not appreciate it. What else this expert miss? They miss being a part of the greatest formation in history, the history-altering institution, the one institution that changed the history of the world for eternity, the beginning of a church. This person will miss it because the conversation end abruptly. Fear develop. Ignorance continue. No relationship built. Because what? I know. I've heard it before. On a smaller perspective, on a personal perspective, the personal impact that was missed. Let me tell you what the personal impact that was missed. This person missed the opportunity to learn and grow in wisdom. Had the conversation continue, had the expert of the law said, Lord, what do you mean? Show me how to love God more. Show me how to love my fellow. Had the conversation continue, learning and growing will come. What else this person miss? He will miss the experience of peace and joy that the world cannot give. That's what Jesus said, I can give that the world cannot give, peace and joy. More personal impact. This person will miss finding the purpose of their life as designed and made by the God of the universe. Each one of us has our purpose in life. That is what's going to be missed. And this person also will miss the many blessings of Christ-centered living person. That is what that's going to miss. How great is the loss of a person with an I know attitude. And this personal impact perspective, I think, apply also to us. If we come to God with this kind of I know attitude, I know some of us, we have heard the same preaching over and over again in our lifetime as a Christian. Some of us, we grow up in Sunday school. Some of us probably hear a lot of podcasts on radio or on your computer, internet. Some of us grow up in Christian home. And it seems like this Christian atmosphere, we know all our lives all along. But if we come with I know attitude to Jesus, no relationship can further be developed. Ignorant continues. Grow, stop. We must resist this kind of attitude. Instead of I know, I think we need to come to Jesus saying, Lord, I will follow. I will follow. Lord, teach me. Instead of I know, God, I want to know you more. Blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Jesus said, you understand well to the teachers of the law. You are not far from the kingdom. Not far means you're not there yet, but not far. How far are you from the kingdom? It's probably only 1 foot away from your head to your heart. The teachers of the law comes with his mind. He understands many things, he knows many things, but his heart is not ready for relationship. He come to Jesus wanting to test Jesus, but his heart is far from Jesus. So close, yet so far, between your brain and your heart. Jesus is seeking relationship. Many of us know things, but our heart is what Jesus wants. We need to be humble to come to Jesus. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. This kind of life is what Jesus wants from each one of us. Suppose the expert of the law come with the attitude of wanting to learn from Jesus. I think the whole story will end differently. The story will become a great story of a humble man, a great man who is intelligent. And he might even wrote a book later on his encounter with God himself, being told the great commandment. You know, that the Jews celebrate the giving of the law, this great commandment, every year. It's called the Feast of Feasts. It's called Shavuot. Until today, the giving of the law to Moses in Mount Sinai, the Jews celebrate. And here we have in the New Testament, the only occurrence when Jesus recites that same law and given to the expert of the law, and there is no celebration. Because I know. I wish this story ended differently, because this is God himself telling him the greatest law, the greatest commandment. As it is, there is no celebration. There is no book written about this particular incident. This could be different if the expert of the law responded differently that day when Jesus told him of the great commandment. As it turned out, though, the episode ended rather disappointingly. But it doesn't have to be that way for us. We still have time to respond differently when we receive the word of God. Amen? Amen? Well, if the case of FOMO, if some of you have FOMO, then I invite you to a new state I call LOGO. Okay? Longing for God's opportunities. I make it up myself, okay? Just try to be cool, but I know it's not. Well, FOMO is fear of missing out. But LOGO is longing of God's opportunity. See, this is the thing. When we come with a right heart, humble heart, then the opportunity open for us. For what? The opportunity to learn and grow in wisdom. When we don't come with, I know, but we come with, Lord, show me, help me, I want to know you more. Then you will automatically go on this path called growth and wisdom. It's an opportunity to experience the peace and joy that the world cannot give. That is something special that you cannot find out there. It's only in this place. It's an opportunity to discover the purpose of our life. Uniquely you, a spiritual person. Do you know that you are a spiritual person? You're not just flesh and blood, but you're also spirit. People out there, they have it, they have spirit, but they may not be too aware of it. You and I, we are aware of it, and we have a purpose in life that is eternity. Spirit is eternal. You will have that chance to discover God's given purpose for you. You will develop a wonderful relationship if you don't come with I know attitude, which is exactly what God doesn't want. Jesus wants a relationship. You will have an opportunity to develop a wonderful relationship with that one true friend. And you will have the opportunity to witness the mighty deeds of what God does today in the world until the eternity. I do not know what else God is going to be doing. I know that he promised to come again. That is going to be a great, great thing for us. But even before then, there are many, many things that God will do in our lives that's ahead of us. Personally, he will do mighty, mighty great deeds in your life, in your family's life, in this church. But all started with the right attitude. That humility, that attitude that's willing to learn in humbleness. Lord, I will follow you. I will obey you. And I want to know what you have to say. Say more, Lord. Say more, Lord. Instead of trying to be an expert, which we are not, we need to be a disciple. We may be able to learn anything, but only a disciple can be transformed when he seeks relationship with Jesus. We can learn anything from Google, but only a relationship with Jesus and his body, a church, can transform us. It is not our brain, it is our heart. When we have it in our brain, we are not far from the kingdom of God. When we have it in our heart, we are in the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's all stand, and I invite our musician. Let's sing that extravagance. Jesus' love is extravagant, meaning it is overwhelming, it is unthinkable, it's extravagant, means it's just beyond limit. You know, extravagance, beyond limit. There should be a limit somehow, but no. He didn't put limit on his love. He even go to death for us. There should be a limit, I think, on love. But Jesus said, no. No matter how poor you are, how dirty you are, how wrecked you are, how wretched you are, I'm coming, Jesus said, because I want to relate with you. I want to have a relationship with you. Let's come to Jesus with our heart. Lord, teach us to have a humble heart, a heart willing to learn from you, a heart that is willing to obey and follow you, a heart of disciple.